Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk about vocations from a couple of different angles. The fishing tournaments, which support vocations in the Diocese of Sioux Falls, support seminarians. And then we're going to talk about the monastery opening, the Adoration Sisters Monastery. And they are looking for vocations, of course. So Katie Fritz and Jan Fetrell join us for our conversation this morning. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Don Wolf with the first and second reading, and Deacon Roger Height with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Ask now of the days of old, before your time. Ever since God created man upon the earth, ask from one end of the sky to the other, did anything so great ever happen before? Was it ever heard of? Did a people ever hear the voice of God, speaking from the midst of fire as you did and live? Or did any God venture to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation, by testings, by signs and wonders, by war, with strong hand and outstretched arm, and by great terrors, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? This is why you must now know and fix in your heart that the Lord is God, in the heavens above and on the earth below, that there is no other. You must keep his statutes and commandments that I enjoin on you today, that you and your children after you may prosper, and that you may live a long life on the land which the Lord your God is giving you forever." The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption, through whom we cry, "Abba, Father." The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the Presentation Sisters in Aberdeen gathered recently to reflect together on their communal life and apostolic mission and ministries. At their week-long meeting called Chapter, they set direction for the next 4 years and elected leaders to engage the congregation in implementing them. The new leadership team for 2018 through 2022 includes Sister Lucille Welbig as counselor, Sister Mary Thomas as vice president, Sister Vicki Larson as counselor, and Sister Janice Klein as president. Sister Janice, Sister Mary, and Sister Lucille were all reelected to serve a second term, and Sister Vicki will begin her first 4-year term. You can read and see more about the Presentation Sisters leadership team in the May edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, in March, Ryan Clydesdale was looking forward to heading to Hawaii with friends for spring break, but deep down, I kept feeling pulled to do something else, he said. That something else was to be part of a Peru mission trip sponsored by the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, or FOCUS. I really felt like God was pushing me to go, said Clydesdale, a student at the University of California, Los Angeles. Josh, a FOCUS missionary at UCLA, kept inviting me until I finally said yes, he said. I was a little nervous at first because it was my first mission trip, but I knew the Lord was asking me to go and serve. This past March, nearly 240 people traveled on 11 spring break trips to serve the people of Peru's Pamplona Alta, one of the poorest neighborhoods in Lima, working alongside members of the Christian Life Movement, For the coming academic year, Focus plans 16 trips to Peru. Focus officials say that such short-term mission trips, that is, are one way the organization aims to answer Pope Francis's call for Catholics to have the courage to go against the tide of the culture of exclusion, of rejection. That call came in his address to clergy during World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro in 2013. U.S. Catholics have donated close to $59 million to relief and recovery efforts in response to the destruction caused by three hurricanes that hit the United States and the Caribbean and two earthquakes in Mexico last year. The devastation from these unprecedented disasters continues to impact the lives of our brothers and sisters in the United States, across the Caribbean, and in Mexico, said Archbishop Thomas J. Rodi of Mobile, Alabama, chairman of the U.S. Bishops' Committee on National Collections. We are profoundly grateful to the diocese that took up special collections or made donations, he said in his statement. The support of parishioners is an act of charity and reflection of love for neighbor. We ask for continued prayers of support for the people affected by these historic natural disasters. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops in a news release reported the various amounts raised for disaster relief as of mid-May. Hurricane Harvey was $37.2 million, Hurricane Irma, $12.8 million, Hurricane Maria, $6.1 million, and the Mexico earthquakes, $3.5 million. Sherri-Ann Waddell recalls the moment when she stepped across the threshold and entered a Catholic church for the first time. It was while she was studying at the University of Washington in Seattle, and coming from a Southern Baptist background, she was looking for a Protestant church in which to pray. All those in her vicinity were closed, but Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church was open. I know it sounds incredible, but I didn't know what the Blessed Sacrament was. And if you had explained it to me, I wouldn't have believed you, she said in a recent lecture to lay Catholics of the Diocese of Shrewsbury, England. It just wasn't a possibility in my world, but I crossed the threshold and felt the real presence, and that's when I became a Catholic, Waddell said. That was my point of entry. I still had a lot of anti-Catholic stuff in my head. God had established a bridge of trust. It was probably the only way he could have gotten my attention. Waddell, who has now published three books on the Catholic Church, told the audience, I started praying in Catholic churches because even though I was going to Protestant churches, and they were very lovely, I would say yes, but that thing isn't here. The presence isn't here, she said. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
She has some wonderful books.
That's a great story.
A great story and a great lead-in to our interviews, talking about the real presence, talking about
exactly
Adoration Sisters as part of our interview today. Thanks, Gene, for the news. Let's move on to that interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Katie Fritz and Jan Fetrell from the Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota. And they're going to talk about separate things, but there is a link. Jan's going to talk about the upcoming fishing tournaments, and Katie's going to talk about the opening of the new Adoration Sisters Monastery. And what's the common theme? Vocations.
Oh, good.
They're
going.
Both related to vocations.
That's
because
right.
The fishing tournament beneficiary is?
The seminary and education.
Seminary and education. And of course, the monastery.
Is the Adoration Sisters and Religious Life.
And they're
for young women.
Open for business. And
they, yes, and they need vocations.
And they're looking for vocations.
Yes, they need exactly to fill up some rooms.
So that's our tie-in for this morning. So we're going to talk a little bit in detail about each of these things going on. I think it's really cool that the foundation itself is involved in so many different things. And I think a lot of times folks don't really even connect that or realize that's going on. And I don't know if either of you have thoughts about that.
Well, I do think everybody does get confused that they think the foundation's the diocese and the diocese is the foundation and we're actually separate, but we are always working together.
Yeah.
And it's pretty darn cool that we get to do things for each other and help each other out.
Yeah,
it is a true blessing. I mean, and from the events standpoint, there are many of the diocesan ministries that I help raise monies for through the Bishop's Charity events. And so even though I'm a staff member of the Catholic Community Foundation, we're still doing things for and with the diocesan side. Yep.
It's a beautiful thing. Well, chronologically, some of the activities related to the monastery are going to come first. So we're going to start with you, Katie, this morning and talk about some of those things, because there's some opportunities for people to get a look, and that's going to be exciting. Maybe a little background, first of all, though. We're talking about the Adoration Sisters who came to this diocese 16 years ago.
Yes, exactly 16 years ago. Their anniversary was on May 16th. So it literally took 16 years for a new home to be built for them.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty exciting time for them.
This building, it's on the campus of the Cathedral of St. Joseph, and kind of fills out the space, if you will, for the current campus.
Mm-hmm. They're so excited too to be part of the campus still. There was a lot of talk about maybe they should move away from Cathedral and be separate, but this is their home. They specifically were invited to come here by Bishop Carlson that over 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. And one of the groups of people that they specifically pray for are the bishops, the priests, the deacons, all those religious people in our diocese. So it makes sense to be on the campus where our bishop sits. So they're pretty excited to be staying here and part of this campus and part of the cathedral.
And we mentioned some opportunities.
Yes.
And this is really rare and really mm-hmm. once in a lifetime because this building will not be open to the public. Most of it will not be open to the public once it's closed.
That's right, Jerry. They live a cloistered life. They're not a fully cloistered order, meaning which probably everyone thinks of cloister. I think they're thinking of the Carmelites mm-hmm. up in Alexandria that we have as part of our diocese. These women are, I would say, more semi-cloistered, but they do live in a cloistered area where Jan, Jerry, Katie, we can't go in there whenever we want.
Right.
People have had opportunities to see their current monastery because we wanted people to be aware of what their life was like and how they live so that they could become part of what we call the power of prayer and to help us build their new home. But going forward, this new home will be going back to their they'll be back to being in a cloister. They will have areas, though, of this monastery that are open to the public. Most importantly, their chapel. Their chapel will be dedicated to Jesus the High Priest, which again goes back to that part of their charism where they pray specifically for the priests and our bishop. But people will be able to go in there and pray and be with Jesus and be with the sisters in that way. And there's also going to be an opportunity for people to spend time with them. Say, if you just want to go talk to one of them, they'll finally have a parlor. Mm-hmm. They'll finally have a reception area where they can invite people over for a meal or to play games or just to have a party for that matter. So there are going to be places for the public to go in, but starting next week, on Tuesday and Wednesday, May 29th and the 30th, you can come and see what a cloister looks like, what they are going to be living in, what that all means, and what do you do there, mm-hmm. and how is that different from my house and your house?
It's we're going to talk more about how this is their universe,
yes,
literally
their whole world.
Enclosed. But I don't want Jan to lose interest here. So we're going to draw Jan into the conversation.
I get
too.
Going. Sorry.
No, it's great. And again, I love that these two things really do tie in together because one of the other things we have to talk about is the joy that these sisters exude and the joy it is to witness them mm-hmm. in their new space, which is part of why people might want to take advantage of that. But I think the same thing when I think about the seminarians who participate with the fishing events. And every year there are some of the seminarians that are able to be present for those events.
Yes. And this year we're going to be so blessed. We're going to have about a dozen of the seminarians at each of our locations in Big Stone and in Pier. And I had to experience it to really understand and to feel it and to get my head around it. The joy that they bring to that atmosphere, and it's such sincere joy. And these young men who, you know, truly are discerning their vocation and to come and share and to witness to so many of us that are there, particularly the youth of our diocese, and for them to see them, you know, in action, playing basketball. Last year it was, I forget the name of it, spike ball. And they were playing with the kids and just having a blast and to see that community building among, you know, that the younger generation of our seminarians and then, you know, the youth of our diocese. It was just amazing.
And I know we've probably talked about this before, but there's a beautiful cycle that's happened, isn't there, that you have young people who experienced the fishing tournament as kids,
yes,
who are now back as seminarians,
yes, yes,
sharing that with the younger kids.
Absolutely. And I don't think Zach Schaefauer would mind my sharing a story, but last year at the tournament, he was actually just sharing how he was first really truly exposed to seminarians through the fishing tournament. And realized at that time that they really are very amazing individuals and not much unlike he. And that, you know, this is something that possibly he could be interested in doing.
Yeah, something to aspire to.
Yeah, exactly.
Give us a little of the detail. I assume we're not too late to get signed up?
Absolutely not. And actually, you can walk up at the event if you want, but really love it if you do pre-register so we can plan. But yeah, the first tournament's going to be in Big Stone on Monday, June 4th, and the day starts out in both locations. We're going to be on June 4th in Big Stone, and then the following week will be on June 11th up in Pier. And but both tournaments start out with registration at 7, fishing starts at 8, back off the boats at 2:30, and a short break, and then we have Mass with Bishop, and it's so super cool to have an outdoor Mass, you know, right by the river, you know, watching the water and whatnot with Bishop and the seminarians, and many priests from throughout our diocese join us. And then we go into a social and a banquet and awards, and it's just an amazing day.
Yeah.
So that's the agenda at both locations. And but like I said, we're at Big Stone on June 4th and then Pier on June 11th. And Pier is a new location this year. We've moved it formally in the Gettysburg region. And so it's not far from Gettysburg, but we're going to be at the Oahe Downstream Recreational Area. And the committee in Pier has been working really, really hard to put together an amazing tournament, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah,
we'll make sure people know how to register. They can do it online, I suspect.
They can do it online at ccfesd.org, or they can call our office at 988-3765.
And that's a great place also to find information about the open houses that you mentioned, Katie.
Yes, that's on our website, as well as you can find information about the Adoration Sisters at their website,
mm-hmm,
at perpetualadorationsisters.org. And that will give you information about the order. You can also do a prayer request if you'd like. We got to keep those women busy.
You know, and that, isn't that one of the best things? We've talked often about what a blessed diocese we are to have had religious communities involved since day one, and how all of those women religious regularly pray for us and are willing to receive our intentions. The Adoration Sisters, of course, are just maybe the most recent example of that,
yes,
and a beautiful example of it because of the way they are focused on adoration.
Correct.
They take those prayer requests to the adoration that they are performing.
Right to Christ, present in the Holy Eucharist. And what I find so fascinating is that request that you send in is prayed for 30 days. And then it actually goes into their prayer book, and it's there forever. I mean, they just have book upon book of prayer requests that they've received over the many years. And it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, I'm teasing, saying we got to keep those women busy, but they love their work, and mm-hmm, their work is to pray. So, and they just love it. And it's just a beautiful thing.
We talked a little bit about the joy that they exude. And it's mm-hmm, partly, I think, because of who they are and what they mm-hmm do and their commitment to it. But I was privileged to be a part of an early tour.
Yes.
And to see those sisters in the various stations around. This is why I want to encourage people to take advantage of these open houses.
Yes, but you get to meet them.
To see them and to hear them exude. And mm-hmm, it's literally exuding.
Mm-hmm. It's emotional, isn't
yeah
it? To listen to them, and they just love their life, and they're so human, and they're just like a big family.
Yeah.
And they're silly, and they're just extraordinary women.
They're silly and profound all at the same
yes,
time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, they really are. So if you come to do these tours, you're going to see some of the, you're going to see like the cell that they live
yes,
in.
Yes,
right?
they finally will each have their own cell, which doesn't sound real inviting, but that to them is really sacred space. It's where they can be alone with Jesus, and they haven't had that. They have not had their own bedrooms. So they've literally been living 2 to 3 to a room. And that is not part of their order. They need to have their own space. And they finally will, because Jerry, you were mentioning how this is their universe. This mm-hmm. is their world. They even have an infirmary because they are going to be growing old and they will die there. Mm-hmm. It seems odd because it's so unusual for, you know, our worldly life, but this is their world and they have places to privately recreate, like to, you know, play soccer. They like to play soccer. They like to play volleyball. They'll have private space for that. They'll have a library. They have a sewing room, a host making room. They have just all the things that they need to fulfill their commitment to their vocation.
It's a very practical space is kind of what I came away mm-hmm. from. I think, yeah, very, very usable
yes.
and very practical.
Right. There's nothing, I don't feel, I mean, the chapel will be the most, detailed, beautiful space as it should be. Mm-hmm. And that was the most important space to the sisters. But otherwise it's pretty simple space. There's nothing extravagant by right. any means, but it's unique. And to meet them is probably the best part
it
of
is.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's just a building.
Yeah.
To know that they're going to be living in there and to meet them is pretty unique.
And I think we want to make sure people do know these open houses are great. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of opportunities for people to take advantage of that. But the sisters aren't going anywhere. They're going to be there.
And they're here.
And maybe that's the best thing is that
they're not leaving. They're
permanent.
Staying. They're permanent. They want to be here. They're really excited to finally have an opportunity to show other young women what their life is like, to join them, to spend time with them. They haven't had that opportunity. There's not been any space. So there are some women in this diocese in the United States that are interested in learning more about them. So they're really excited to share that opportunity with others and to increase vocations.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll look forward to it. And so again, these activities that we're talking about, both for the sisters and for the fishing tournaments, support, you know, the money piece is we don't talk about it as much because there's something so wonderful about just the gathering, but the money piece is kind of significant too, isn't it, Jan?
It really is. People would be amazed to know that on average it costs our diocese $41,550 per seminarian per year for their formation. And that mm-hmm. includes education, books, lodging, their summer activities, you know, whether they're retreating or totus tuus or in a parish or whatever. So it's a year-round commitment to support the seminarians. And we currently have 23 individuals that are in the seminary. And so if you do the math, that's a lot of money. And it's absolutely not covered by, in full, I should say, by our Catholic Family Sharing Appeal. And there are also endowments that have been established and whatnot to help fund. But we are, as a diocese, we have committed, our bishop has committed that we are going to support these individuals. So it's really, really important that we raise the necessary funds. And through the fishing tournaments the past few years, we've been able to support 3 individuals for an entire year.
Wow.
So that's pretty substantial. And, you know, well over $100,000 is raised, but it's through a lot of hard work from a lot of individuals and a lot of amazing, generous donors.
Yeah.
And so everybody can participate either by physically being at the event. And I failed to mention earlier that you can come and fish, but if you're not a fisherman like me, you can come for Mass and then join us for the banquet afterwards. And so it's kind of 2 events in one, if you will. And so I really encourage any of our listeners that, you know, it's like, this sounds intriguing. Give us a call And if you make a last minute decision to join us, that's great too. Just come and be a part of the great, beautiful day.
There's a lot of ways to participate. You can bring kids if you want.
Yeah.
You can just come, bring your boat. You don't have to bring a boat. You can do it lots of different
ways. Exactly. And so if you have any of those questions of the house, just give us a call.
You mentioned the funds, you mentioned the committees, and Katie, I got to do the same for you. The generosity of people is unbelievable.
Oh, it's been absolutely incredible. This never would have happened but for many, many incredible gifts towards this building project. It has been truly remarkable to see the generosity of people giving to kind of something that's really kind of quiet and not many people knew about. And this building is fully paid for. And, you know, the sisters are still going to need support as they go forward. It's a large facility to maintain. So we hope to create some endowments for the sisters to keep that money's coming in for them. And also people in our diocese, you know, remember them. And if you can, please do what you can for them.
They're going to have a bookstore. They're going to have some ways to support themselves.
Yep.
But like you said, they probably will need some additional help.
They will need some additional help. That's true.
As they go on.
Right.
And again, just a word about the committees. I know there was a committee behind this. And Jan, your committee is always just so impressive.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing, generous people. Financially generous, of course, but just their amazing talent and input and the amount of time they put into it. These events, such as fishing tournaments, could not happen without these people.
Yep. Well, it's the best of the diocese, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody coming together.
Absolutely. And I just love it that we're going to the corners of the diocese, you know, to Pier and to Big Stone and to bring people together. It's so beautiful.
Again, probably the best thing to follow up on anything we've talked about this morning, both with the monastery and with the fishing tournaments, is the website. Is that best?
Yes, please go to the websites.
Yes,
CCFESD.org.
Yeah.
And it's Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota.
Or PerpetualAdorationSisters.org.
That's great stuff. Katie and Jan, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
Gene, Memorial Day weekend, always a special time in our country.
It is. It's a good time to pray. It's a good time to remember the fallen. There is a great Memorial Day Mass at St. Michael's Cemetery on Monday morning at 9 a.m. So that's a good opportunity. That always draws a big crowd of people.
A lot of times families are together as well, remembering their lost ones. And, of course, cemeteries do a beautiful job of being ready for that, and people decorate the graves. It's a very nice day.
It is an important holiday.
Yeah, and a great way to honor those who have gone before us.
Exactly.
So we take advantage of that. All right, well, thanks, Gene. I hope everyone has a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll see you next week.